الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه وعلى عفوه بعد قدرته، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الخبيثات للخبيثين والخبيثون للخبيثات، والطيبات للطيبين والطيبون للطيبات، أولئك مبرؤون مما يقولون، لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم. صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders and brothers, many a times in our Jummah khutbah we speak about Sahaba. We speak about great personalities of the past, and we draw lessons and inspiration from their lives. And in most of those occasions when we had spoken about the Sahaba, we spoke about male Sahaba. Sahaba who were men and male folk, male, and we drew inspiration from them. Today, slight change. I want to speak about one of our mothers. I want to speak about the Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And the life of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha is an amazing life. A life in every one of its aspects that leaves us with so many great lessons in terms of her marriage, in terms of her compassion, her kindness, her generosity, her piety, her keen intellect, her wisdom, through which we as the ummah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have learned so much. Much of the deen that we have has come through us, through the means of Hazrat Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So briefly we will speak about this great woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Holy Quran spoken about both male and females in terms of their deeds. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also indicated that individually there are women who would outdo men in terms of their piety and their conduct, their character, their closeness towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever does righteous deeds, be it male or female, Allah will grant them a blissful, and Allah will grant them a pure life. إِنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Allah in the beginning of the 22nd juz of the Holy Quran says, believing men, believing female, and carrying on, Allah Ta'ala speaks about both male and female in terms of good deeds. Then an amazing aspect in the last page of the 28th juz in Surah Tahrim, Allah Ta'ala, when He comes to give an example of Iman, this is absolutely amazing. Allah Ta'ala, when He wants to give an example of Iman, that Iman, an example of steadfastness upon Iman. Look at how Allah has put it. ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَرَعَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Allah gives you the example of Iman in the wife of Fir'aun. Allah Ta'ala could have used an example with regard to Iman, many great people, could have been many great men. But when Allah Ta'ala gave an example of Iman for every believer, male or female, till the day of judgment, who Allah used? ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مْرَعَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ. I give you an example of steadfastness in faith in the wife of Fir'aun. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on, وَمَرْيَمَ ابْنَةَ عِمْرَانَ. I give you an example of Iman in Maryam, the wife of Imran and the mother of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Is it an amazing thing? And then of course Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, of course a very, very great woman. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha had the titles of Humaira and Siddiqah. And one very amazing thing is, you know, there was, the Arabs used to use a taconym. Taconym means kunniyat, where they used to derive their name from the eldest son or the eldest child. So that was a sign of respect and honor. So you find many sahaba, Abu Abdullah, Abu Rayhan, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was known Abu Qasim. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala one day said, Ya Rasulullah, I do not have any kunniyat. How am I going to? The other wives, because they were previously married, many of them had children, They used to have the taqunum. They used to have, taqunum is an English equivalent of kunniyat. They used to have this particular kunniyat by the names of their children which they had from previous marriages. Ya Rasulullah, I have no previous marriage and no children in this marriage. How I'm going to have a kunniyat? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at that time, Abdullah ibn Zubair, the nephew of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born, the son of her sister Asma. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Humaira, O Aisha, keep the name of your kunniyat by your nephew. And she came to be known as Ummi Abdullah because of her nephew. And obviously, she was in the forefront because her father was so close to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what all the travails, the challenges in the beginning stages of Islamic history, she was the one who saw it. And unlike any other wives, she was grown up and she grew up in Tawheed. She did not have any other parameter, didn't have any other criteria, because from the very time when she grew up, she only saw Islam. And of course, she also relates one very amazing thing, that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to go for hijrat and about to migrate, and he came at an unusual hour, at a time when normally the Arab people used to sleep. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and asked urgently with regard to where is Abu Bakr. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr came and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, what is the situation? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated towards the family. Hazrat Aisha was there, Hazrat Asma was there, and said, can I speak in front of them? Abu Bakr said, these are my family, you can speak in front of them. And said, is it time for us to migrate? Is it time for us to migrate? Hazrat Aisha says, the very first time I saw a person cry out of happiness, when I saw Abu Bakr crying, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Abu Bakr, you will accompany me in this remarkable journey. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was amongst those who saw all this. And obviously Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got married to her. The particular aspect of marriage has so many great lessons. Sometimes people only focus on this one aspect, that she came in the house of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to the riwayat in Bukhari Sharif, at the age of 9 years. So people will say, what, 9 years? How did this happen? Is it possible for someone to get married to a girl or a woman at the age of 9? We have to understand just few things very quickly. You can never compare one age with another age. You don't know the circumstances that were in that age. People who are in this particular gathering who are elderly would recall that, say, 15, 20, 30 years ago, when a woman reached 20, it was unheard of. People used to start complaining. People used to taunt the parents. Your daughter is already 20 and she's not married. Even at that particular time, it was normal for women to get married at the age of 16, 17. Now, this was 20, 30 years back. Now, can we imagine taking that particular stage almost 1,000 years back? So for us to start making assumptions on the basis of different ages is something that is completely not correct for us. And it was, you know, many times people, non-Muslims, complain. And not only when they complain, you must refer to this particular aspect, that in the Encyclopedia of Religions, and even from the previous scriptures, that when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was born miraculously from Maryam, her age was 12 years of age. Hazrat Maryam gave birth to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam when she was 12 years of age. So for us to compare, it's absolutely wrong for us. But of course, I just make mention of it very briefly without touching into it. There are many other reasons. I don't have the time to go into it. But this marriage was one which was so blessed. It was so great. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in his hujrah, in his quarters, then we saw the benefit from this particular marriage. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was immediately, you know, loved Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha because of her keen intellect, because of her wisdom. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because his whole objective was to teach people Islam, and a very great significant percentage of our life is to do with our home life, with our social life, with our domestic life. And where do we get that particular aspect about the domestic life but from the wives of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Sometimes I wonder, with regard to the great conduct of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one, and this is a reality, no one can tell his wife in today's time, go and tell the community everything you know about me. Go and tell the community everything you know about me. Because we all know how many skeletons there are in our cupboards, and our wives many times know about it. But may we be sacrificed upon the confidence that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam handed his conduct, that he told his wives, not only aloud, encourage them, go and tell the world what you know about me, because there is no skeletons in my cupboard. And it was Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Some of the ulama say that one third of deen this ummah learned from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. What was a keen intellect that because of which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then turned towards her. How many times many sensitive issues came. She asked questions. Because of those questions, we came to learn many things. One day she asked Nabi, let me just give you a few examples. One day she asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, you know, why is it that you seek Allah's protection from debt? Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-mauti wal-dain. How do you seek protection of Allah from debt the way you seek from death? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Aisha, you have correctly seen why I make dua in one sentence with regard to these two evils. Because when a person is in debt, he becomes morally vulnerable. When he speaks lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha came to know and asked those particular. One day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, each and every person when he gets up on the day of resurrection will come in the way he was born. Immediately Hazrat Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, does it mean we are going to be resurrected naked? And if we are going to be resurrected naked, how will male and female intermingle with one another in that state? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh Aisha, that will be such a difficult day. No one will worry about those type of aspects. Everyone will be worried about accountability. How am I going to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But look at the intellect. Immediately she asked. One day, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is not permissible to get a woman and a girl married without her consent. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, a girl is young. She is still a virgin. And if someone asks her the question, are you prepared to get married to so and so? She would be reluctant to say, even if it's in her heart, she wants to say yes. But if she say yes loudly, people will say, look at this woman, she is so forward. Ya Rasulullah, what will happen with regard to those type of women? And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha asked the question, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an answer which today forms the basis of our fiqh on this particular issue, that if a young girl remains silent, her silence is considered to be consent to get married. Where did we learn this? We learned this from Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Mashtakala ashab Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It never ever happened that the ashaba and the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a difficulty in understanding any aspect of the Quran and Hadith. Whenever they went to Aisha, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to resolve those particular issues. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala used to give an answer. Whenever this particular aspect, that knowledge is tied only to men, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha brought an end to that particular aspect. Because her knowledge with regard to Quran and Hadith was such that she also became the reference point for even the Sahaba to come and understand deen. Many times they were, Sahaba said, we couldn't understand in regard to Inna Safa wal Marwata min Sha'airillah, what was the meaning with regard to it. Some of the Sahaba came to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. She gave such a brilliant reply. And when she gave the reply, the Sahaba were just astounded by the knowledge that she possessed, not only on terms of the Quran, but even with regard to the Arabic language. And one of the reasons with regard to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam getting married to her young was that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could mold her. So she was directly molded and influenced and taught by the greatest teacher that Allah Ta'ala has ever produced, by our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, why wouldn't she be the one who had given such great knowledge and wisdom to this ummah? One day amazing thing happened. A person came in the presence of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was known for his vulgarity. He was the worst person in the tribe. So when he started, you know, when he came, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this person, he is so vulgar. He is known for not having a very good, impeccable character. He's not known for his good things. But yet when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite what he was, whatever evil he had, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him gently. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him with respect. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him with honor. So as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala afterwards said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm surprised you spoke to me and told me this person is vulgar. He is like this, he is like that. Yet you spoke to him in such a beautiful manner. So what did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? But first of all, look at how she picked up. But Ya Rasulullah, isn't there apparent contradiction in the two? And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, oh Aisha, the worst of people are those who people stay away from because of their vulgarity. The worst of people are those that people stay far away. But in a humbe noke auta, to haron nich marcha. He'll swear you, he'll abuse you. Today, just look at this, the difference. If today, you and I, if people stay away from us because of our vulgarity, we say, meto in a hamrawe didu. I told him such and such a thing. He will never come in front of me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the worst of people are those people stay away from because they worried how he's going to treat them. Where we learn this? We learn this from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. Because of this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had tremendous love and respect because of her talent, because of her wisdom, because of her knowledge. And very briefly, I don't have time to go into it, and it showed in the time of the waqi'ah ifk, when because of the jealousy that because of what she became so close to our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and people always looked for an opportunity to be able to slander, accuse her, and they found an opportunity in this one innocent incident that happened, where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had got left behind in one of the expeditions, and a sahabi led her toward the tent where the Muslims were. He used that, and the munafiq and the hypocrites used that to slander Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and accuse her of immorality. And when they did that, she knew nothing about it. She knew nothing with regard to it. And one day she came to know about it. Then she said, I realized why Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not have the normal love and kindness the way he used to speak to me. It wasn't there for some time. She went away to the house of the mother. Long incident. Let me just give you the end of the incident. When Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after 28 days, when this particular accusation and this whole particular rumor was circulating, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had given her permission to go to her parents. She said, I had cried until there was no tears left in me. And that particular time, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and he addressed. And he spoke to me, and he spoke to me in the presence of my parents. And when he spoke to me in the presence of my parents, he said, oh Aisha, many a times it happens that you might have done something wrong. And if, for example, if there is something that is wrong, then make mention with regard to it, so that this matter could be clarified. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say it in that particular way as if he regarded Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala to be in any way guilty of what she was accused of. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam just told her that, tell us what the situation. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala said, I asked my parents to reply. They did not reply. So then I took up the courage and cudgels. I said, that many a times, and this happens in rumors, many a times when a rumor circulates, although it is wrong, and Allah knows it is wrong, but when a rumor starts circulating for wrong, even you and I, when a rumor is, first we hear it, we say it is wrong, and then afterwards when it starts becoming public knowledge, we say, Dalma ke kanu che, oye ke ne ke, must be something and something must have happened. So this thing has started becoming widespread. Now you are starting to think that perhaps it is true, and Allah knows that it is not true. And she said, I couldn't say anything. I said, I will only say what the father of Yusuf alayhi salam, he said, in my extreme sadness, I even forgot the name of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, said, Fasabrun Jamil. Patience is the best route to face your problems. And I said that when I saw the effects of the wahi coming down upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when I saw this, I immediately realized Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is getting wahi. Because I was innocent, I thought Allah will reveal and inspire Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. I never thought that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal two rukus in my innocence. And Allah ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ مُبَرَّعُونَ مِمَّا يَقُولُونَ, that she is free from the accusations that people level against her. And Allah Ta'ala says in the ayat which I have recited in the khutbah, Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithina wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. If you want to see Hazrat Aisha, then look at a partner. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's normal rule is that pious people for pious women and vice versa. I tell Muslim youngsters, especially the male, that many times you feel I can do whatever I want, but the time for you to get married, you say, Mane to scarf wari jue. I want the one with a scarf. by you be with a topi, then you get someone with a scarf. If you yourself want to become immoral, then at the time of marriage you want someone like that, how does it work? So this particular aspect, if you want to see the conduct of Aisha, then look at her husband. In Mustadrak Hakim, there is a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I made dua to Almighty Allah. And what was my dua? My dua to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was this, that Ya Allah, whomsoever I get married to, and whomsoever my daughters get married to, allow both of them to meet with me and be with me in Jannah. And Allah accepted my dua. Allah accepted my dua. Because of these type of things, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the utmost love for Hazrat Aisha. After the battle of Dhatus Salasil, Hazrat Amr ibn As radiallahu anhu came and said, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love most? Who do you love most? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, amongst male, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha's father. One day Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anhu came, because the other wife said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had too much love for Hazrat Aisha. So they came and said, Oh Fatima, you are the beloved of your father. Your father loves you. You go and take this message to your father. So she came and said, Oh my father, the people are saying and the wives are saying that you give too much attention towards Hazrat Aisha. What is the reason with regard to this? And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Oh my daughter, will you not love those people whom I love? Hazrat Fatima said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Love Aisha because I love her. Love Aisha because I love her. And this was how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was towards Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'anha. And it's also amazing that towards it, this particular love remained right till the end. And if you look at how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reacted, it teaches us how to be in our marital life. How many times Hazrat Aisha and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be on the lap of Hazrat Aisha, not once, so many occasions. He used to sleep on the lap of Hazrat Aisha. Hazrat Aisha used to comb the hair of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, comb the beard of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to eat together. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to eat the meat from where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had bit the meat. Where do we have this in our particular type of, in our marriages? That love and kindness Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to drink water from the place where she had placed her lips. And we feel that this romantic type of things is to do with the West. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us all these things. One day, just an amazing incident, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping on her lap. And this was the time when they had gone into an expedition, the time for salat came and there was no water for wuzu. So Abu Bakr came into the tent and he was extremely angry. He was extremely angry with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala and said, because of you, because at that time a necklace had got lost, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told people, wait, look for the necklace. Now while they were looking for the necklace, the time for salat came, no water. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sleeping on a lap and Abu Bakr came extremely angry with his daughter. And he said, he poked his fingers on my sides many a times. Because of you, we came into this problem. What am I going to answer to the people that we have no water for wuzu? And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, I did not move because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head was on my lap. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's head. And thereafter, when he got up, he came to realize the situation. Allah ta'ala revealed the verses of Tayammum. Then Abu Bakr came into the tent and said, Oh my daughter, forgive me. Because of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given accommodation for the ummah till the day of judgment. Tayammum we got because of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Even the views of Tayammum. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right till the end, the last moments of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, he was on the lap of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. He died on the lap of Hazrat Aisha. Sometimes I wonder, people make mockery or they laugh with regard to women folk and they say, Allah ta'ala and Islam has not given us that particular type of, accordance to the rights of women. Look at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nabuwat started off by the consolation of Hazrat Khadija and ended off on the lap of Hazrat Aisha. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nabuwat started off from Hazrat Khadija and ended off at the lap of Hazrat Aisha. There are so many aspects that we will never have the time now because of the limited time. Let me just end off with one. What a beautiful Arabic poet had said, Ya Mubghidi. Ya Mubghidi, O those who hate Hazrat Aisha. How can they be Muslims? But even this, look at the way he put it. Ya Mubghidi, La ta'ati qabri Muhammadi. All of you who hate Hazrat Aisha and who hate this great woman, don't come to the qabr of Muhammad. O you who hate Aisha, don't come to the qabr of Muhammad. Fal baytu bayti wal makanu makani. Because where he lays rest, that is my house, that is my apartment. Ya mubghidi, O those who hate Aisha, don't come to the qabr of Muhammad. Fal baytu bayti wal makanu makani. That is my house, that is my apartment. Marida an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa mata turai. Fal yawma yawmi wa zamanu zamani. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got sick. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his sickness, he died on my lap. That day was an honor for me. That particular age was an honor for me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding the greatness of this woman. Let us understand her wisdom, her intellect, her education, and be motivated by her life. There are many aspects. Maybe one day, inshallah, we will continue making mention of that. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.